So then, 12 minutes past 8, the world's financial leaders just gathered in Buenos Aires at the start of this week for an annual two-day meeting of G20 finance ministers and central bankers. US Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin had to defend President Donald Trump's steel tariff and other protectionist policies as many leaders warned of a possible trade war. But the ministers also concluded that cryptocurrencies are not yet significant enough to jeopardize financial markets, stopping short of a joint move to regulate transactions. Let's now address Edwin Truman, former Assistant Secretary of the US Treasury for International Affairs, currently a non-resident senior fellow at the Peterson Institute for International Economics. Thank you very much for joining us.
My pleasure.
In the meeting communique that was released, the G20 leaders, or the finance minister leaders, agreed to recognize the need for more dialogue and action. It's kind of frustrating to read that. So, like, well, what are you all gathered for if not to come up with dialogue and action? But they've had dialogue to agree on the need for dialogue. How should we read that statement, though?
So my reading, of course, I was not there, but dialogue, as you say, is talk is cheap. In fact, talk is better than some other things, right? Talk is better than aggressive action. But on action, my sense is what that is referring to, that's just my guess, is there are issues about excess of capacity, in particular in the steel and aluminum industry and various other areas. So whether there are ways in which you could, through governmental action, to adjust supply and demand that maybe including even the area of subsidies to better balance international trade and make it more and make it fairer, as we would say.
Well, speaking of action, though, the U.S. imposing 25% tariffs on imported steel, that will take effect Friday, and it's expected as well to unveil tariffs on $60 billion worth of Chinese technology and telecom products. That's going to have global implications, but firstly, do we expect any particular backlash from China?
Well, I'm not sure that backlash is the right word, but I would be very surprised if there wasn't some response from China, actually not in the dialogue, meaning words area, but in the action area. I mean, in some sense, if there's this major action against China, whether they're guilty or not, they are likely to respond in some way. Substantively to the U.S. actions, unfortunately.
South Korea's finance minister met with Steven Mnuchin and explained why South Korea should be exempt from the steel tariff particularly. And I think there was a relatively positive response, if not any kind of commitment. Do you think, though, ultimately the U.S. will positively respond?
Well, I think you and Korea actually probably have a better reading on this than I do. My gut tells me that at least at this point, other than exempting, so to speak, Canada and Mexico, it's unlikely that other countries will be exempted, though there is, I guess, some basis on which Yuan could exempt Korea in the expectation that some aspects of the CORUS might be the U.S.-Korean free trade agreement might be adjusted more to the liking of the administration.
You mentioned in an earlier written piece that G7 nations should cooperate to combat President Trump's protectionist policies. When the role of organizations like the World Trade Organization, the WTO, has been undermined, what other measures can those G7 countries take together?
Well, at one level, the answer is not much in terms of actually actions. But I think various forums, whether it's the G7 or the G20, or areas in which the United States and other countries and are forced, if you want to put it that way, to get together and listen to their partners, whether in in a multilateral setting or in a bilateral setting, it has to have it has some impact on policies. So I guess the answer is the G7 shouldn't give up, or the G20 shouldn't give up, or Korea shouldn't give up. But it's going to be a tough row to hoe, as we say, to get change the attitudes of the current administration.
Mm. The price of Bitcoin. Let's talk a bit about cryptocurrency. It's been heavily unstable since its infancy. We saw that huge boom and then bust, but then a gentle rise again after the meeting, as the G20 ministers didn't come up with a common strategy to regulate them. But based on what's been discussed, how do you think cryptocurrency regulations will eventually unfold?
So again, I am not inside or not close to being inside, but it is clear that countries have different attitudes on this point. I think you're not going to get regulations. I think what you want, or we should want, is safeguards against what impacts the cryptocurrencies, or whatever you want, or the variations on cryptocurrencies can have on other aspects of the financial system. There is not consensus on this point yet, but I think that's what you're headed for. I hope that's what you're headed for.
But you have written about the challenges that cybercurrencies or cryptocurrencies pose for regulators, haven't you, and the need for international cooperation.
No, I think it is important that the major jurisdictions, or all jurisdictions for that matter, have a common, at best they can have a common perspective on this. I think it starts with issues that are associated with the Financial Action Task Force, which was referenced in the material that came out of Buenos Aires. That has to do with money laundering and basically the relevance of people who are dealing with these things to know their customer. There are issues of how these entities are treated under various securities regulations. There are issues of fraud, and there are issues of information that are available to supervisors and regulators. It is useful that people are talking, but it would appear that people are not really all on the same page. And when it comes to safeguards, or when it comes to something as important, for example, as the FATF recommendations, it's not just a question of the recommendations. It's a question of whether countries or various jurisdictions are implementing those regulations. So, and that, I think, is the crucial point. And so there is an important area of surveillance here. My concern is that the authorities are in sufficiently different positions that they will sort of talk, and then the problem will become so large that it'll be much more difficult for them to do anything, because the issuers, if you want to put it that way, of cryptocurrencies will have established enough of a political impetus behind them that countries will be reluctant to clamp down on it. You see,
right,
in some sense, the same thing going on with respect to the whole issue of taxation of internet transactions. That's a sort of different but related topic.
Edwin Truman, we appreciate that you're not directly on the inside of this meeting, but given your expertise as a former Assistant Secretary of the U.S. Treasury for International Affairs, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
It's my pleasure.